KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 62 degrees. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high of 73. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Officials with Marney and Elkhorn Telephone Company and Walnut Communications, who announced their plan to merge in July, have completed the transaction, according to General Manager Janelle Hansen. Hansen said Monday they finalized the paperwork, made the necessary filings, and have received the necessary approvals from the FCC, so now they can continue on with the best part of the merger, and that is the people, which include all the employees and their customers. And while the merger keeps the brands for both companies, it still allows the company the opportunity to share staff resources, reduce combined operating expenses, and provide customers with the excellent products and services they deserve, according to Hansen. Both Marney Elkhorn and Walnut Communications have served customers in Western Iowa for more than 100 years. Each company provides internet, digital, TV, and voice services to residential and business customers in the areas they serve, which include Avoca, Brayton, Elkhorn, Exira, Kimbleton, Marney, Minden, Neola, Persia, Shelby, Underwood, and Walnut with internet, TV, and phone. And they are in several cellular partnerships in Western Iowa and serve Atlantic with wireless internet. The City of Atlantic's Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors will hold a special meeting at noon today. The board will meet in the City Council's chambers to act on approving shore stabilization for Lake No. 2 at the Schulberg Reich area from the Troublesome Creek project and a bid of $60,000 from Houghton Earthmoving for the same project. They're also expected to act on approval for removal of the CAT or Community Attraction and Tourism grant application in order for that to be resubmitted in January of next year. The application had been submitted earlier this year with hopes of receiving funds for the Schulberg Rec Area Campground project, but no action was taken at the Vision Iowa meeting in June. Former Parks Director Roger Herring had said back at that time that the Vision Iowa board was in the process of being dissolved and replaced with an Enhanced Iowa program, and the city needed more effort to try and garner private fundraising support for the campground project. Officials of the Cass County Health System announced on Monday that Brett Altman, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Master of Business Administration, and Fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, will be the new Chief Executive Officer for CCHS. The Board of Trustees approved the contract for Altman during a special meeting Monday morning. In a press release, Cass County Memorial Hospital Board of Trustees Chairman Ned Brown said, after a thorough search and interview process, it became apparent that Mr. Altman has the vision, leadership skills, and industry expertise to continue to move our organization forward. Altman has served as president and CEO at Skiff Medical Center in Newton for the past 2.5 years. He began his career at Skiff as director of physical therapy in 1994, and over the past 22 years has moved up through the organization, serving as director of physical medicine and rehabilitation, interim CEO, clinical operations officer, and chief operating officer before he became their CEO in 2014. Six candidates have been interviewed to participate in on-site interviews for the CEO position. The CCHS board established 4 teams with a total of 25 people to conduct the interviews. The teams included board members, administrators, medical providers, and department directors. Altman and his wife Sarah have 4 children, and they will be moving to the Atlantic area, and he'll begin his work at CCHS either later this year or early next year. The Griswold-Lenox School District Superintendent Dave Hendricks reports patrons of the districts will be receiving a survey in the near future pertaining to families who open and roll out their students. Hendricks said the purpose of the survey is to help determine if a change in facilities would encourage their return to the district and determine why they have elected to leave the district. The goal, he says, is to make sure the district does not do something in terms of facility changes that would cause others to leave the district. Hendricks said also he's put together a list of steps and requirements required for a bond election. The district's facilities committee met yesterday. A woman from Creston was arrested late Monday night on a drug charge. Creston police say 33-year-old Crystal Smith was taken into custody in the 800 block of West Jefferson Street on a possession of drug paraphernalia charge. Smith was later released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. The Union County Sheriff's Office and 2 residents of the county reported incidents of theft. On September 21st, an Afton woman told authorities someone had entered her shed during a period of September 16th through the 21st and stole property valued at about $2,820. Among the items reported missing, 2 1-gallon chainsaw gas cans, a 5-gallon gas can, a collapsible milk crate with canvas tool liner, a 50-foot air hose, 3 extension cords, a Fox Pro electric game call, a steel 230 chainsaw, an MS-311 steel chainsaw, a Predator generator, three fishing poles, tackle box, and lures, a Makita angle grinder, a small air angle grinder, muck boots, and chore boots. And then on Saturday, a Union County man reported that someone had taken his father's .22 Magnum Cobra Derringer pistol from his father's home in Kent. The theft happened sometime over the previous few days, with the loss estimated at $200. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seivert said Monday that the fire danger index in the county will remain high this week due to the dry harvest conditions. Seivert says that means extra precaution should be taken when planning an open burn. The next update on the county fire danger index in Shelby County will be on Thursday. Elsewhere in state news, Republican Congressman David Young's bill calling for the Veterans Administration to fix problems with its suicide hotline has cleared the U.S. House and awaits action in the Senate.
Earlier this year, I heard from a few veterans, folks who had cases with our office. They have some emotional, mental war wounds. They've been calling the crisis line, and whether the signal was busy or went unanswered, this was unacceptable. And so what do? You address it legislatively.
Young's bill calls on the Veterans Administration to come up with a way to ensure all calls to the crisis line are answered.
And they report to Congress what those quality assurances are and if they have any issues where they can't get it done.
Young says it means if calls continue to slip through the cracks, the VA must tell Congress they need more staff, more training for the staff already there, or even better technology to deal with call volume. The crisis line fielded 500,000 calls last year. Young had hoped his bill would clear the Senate last week, but it didn't. He expects the bill will pass when Congress convenes after the November election. About 20 veterans commit suicide in America every day, but a recent report found few of those veterans had gotten services from the VA in the year before their death. Months after a falling chunk of marble prompted the closure of a Woodbury County courtroom, officials say the space will reopen and ease scheduling problems in the 98-year-old Northwest Iowa Courthouse. Courtroom 203 will reopen Monday, about 5 months after county supervisors ordered its closure. They took the action after a 6-foot marble section detached and fell from a window assembly. Windows in the courtroom also bowed out. Closure of the courtroom has been a headache for court officials who have tried to shift hearings to other courtrooms. Repairs to the courtroom will cost about $175,000. The supervisors have set aside $450,000 for additional work on other courtrooms. The Woodbury County Courthouse opened in 1918 and was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1973. Some prosecutors say a loophole in Iowa law can allow educators convicted of sexually abusing students to avoid prison time. An investigation the Des Moines Register conducted last month identified 7 cases in the past 5 years in which teachers convicted of sexual abuse avoided prison time or could seek to have their public record expunged. Under the law, mandatory reporters such as teachers and social workers are required to report child abuse cases to law enforcement. Convicted mandatory reporters aren't eligible for sentences that don't include jail time if the victim is under the age of 18. Cherokee County Attorney Ryan Culpin says the law doesn't apply if prosecutors forget or decide not to include information showing the defendant is a mandatory reporter in a criminal complaint. Some prosecutors say the law also doesn't apply if a convicted reporter doesn't acknowledge their status as a mandatory reporter. And harvest is underway with 21% of the soybeans and 10% of the corn crop already completed in Iowa. That's a day behind last year's progress at the same time. Rain likely has something to do with it. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's weekly crop status report released Monday indicates weather was favorable for farmers, but there were reports of muddy conditions and standing water in some fields from earlier storms. Iowa corn and soybeans are rated at 81% good to excellent. It was nearly ideal for harvest in Nebraska, where farmers in that state reported 15% of the corn harvested. That was behind the 5-year average, and 27% of the soybeans in the bins. That's right at average. The USDA reports 73% of Nebraska corn and 78% of their soybeans are rated good to excellent. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.